I guess the other thing, because they had data that was in lung cancer presented and in breast cancer,
right,
was that they can do it on paraffin tissue and not that much.
They can,
tissue.
In fact. The technology is evolving so that each group is leapfrogging beyond the next, and it is remarkable what they can learn from a small section. This particular paper, the word that I object to is actionable in the title, which is that, in fact, they did find a whole host of mutations and a variety of perturbations of genes, but whether they're actionable in colon cancer is a different question. Because, for example, they did find the ALK fusion product, which of course is actionable in lung cancer and is actionable with the drug crizotinib, but we don't know that that would be the same in colon cancer. And I think this technology is nascent technology. We, of course, need to have the perspective that this is a company that was launching their commercial product at the same time as this paper was presented. So it doesn't diminish the scientific value and the incredible technology that they're bringing to bear. But this particular paper, I don't think, really helps the field very much. Now, moving forward, for example, we're very interested in 80405 in doing this kind of analysis on the tumors in 80405 to see if we can look for patterns or get some handle on what patients might do with which mutations or with which gene products. But this presentation per se was just sort of a mishmash of the findings if you look at a wide range of colon cancers.
Just, I mean, more maybe from my own background, Matt, are there other assays out there? I mean, right now this assay I think can actually be ordered.
It can be. There are other assays that have various numbers of genes that are reported, and there are commercially available assays.
So you could, there are different assays, Matt, right now, next generation sequencing assays you can actually order?
Absolutely. This is a very rapidly growing field, and I would also say this is a very exciting field. This is probably where things are headed. The really big issue is the one that Alan has just pointed out. The technology is great. We can find these mutations. What we don't know in the various cancers are all these mutations that we're finding actually driving the tumor. And if you target it, are you going to have any clinical impact whatsoever? So it's, I think, hypothesis generating, whether we can really make the conclusion that these patients should now receive a specific targeted therapy is very questionable.
Axel?
You know, I agree. This is the future of medicine, the future of oncology. But it comes with a lot of challenges, how to validate that a certain treatment approach is actually working in practice. Because we have to keep in mind, the more we dissect tumors into so small subsets, we're turning every common tumor into a rare disease. And I think we all agree that at some point we will change our nomenclature. We'll go away from, let's say, organ-based nomenclature, colorectal cancer, to, let's say, ALK, BRAF, mutated, whatever, disease. And we might treat some lung cancer similar to some colon cancers with similar drugs. Now, the way to get there, the way to run these clinical trials and actually validate exactly this approach is going to be a challenge, because we'll have to identify these patients up front in terms of, you know, what genetic signature, what kind of genomic signature are we looking at, and then funnel these patients into probably nationally run clinical trials to eventually present a result that can surpass FDA scrutiny for a certain drug to be approved in a disease where it's not yet approved.
Alan, do you think crizotinib could work in these patients?
It may, but I think the sobering message, the excitement of BRAF mutations in melanoma is the best example, which is, of course, the waterfall plots look like Niagara Falls, but then the responses are transient. Now you add a MEK inhibitor to BRAF, you may get more elongated responses. In colon cancer, the same strategy with BRAF really had no impact in the disease. We presented some data with a BRAF and MEK inhibitor where we saw transient responses in colon cancer. So I think there may be a thread through these diseases, but some diseases will undoubtedly be more dependent on these pathways than others. And so it's great to challenge colon cancers with ALK fusion products with crizotinib, but are we likely to see responses? We don't know until we do the experiment, but it won't necessarily transfer from one disease to the next.
Charlie?
Yeah, I think Alan makes a great point, which is that one size doesn't fit all here. That is, clearly a BRAF mutation in melanoma, it doesn't seem to have the same effect in colon cancer because the BRAF inhibitors don't work. And what I think it suggests is that you got to look at context, that any one dimension, be it gene expression or sequence data alone, is not going to tell you the answer about how to treat a patient. You really are going to need multidimensional data so that if you look at a BRAF mutation, you know what it's occurring in what context, because that may decide whether you give a patient a BRAF inhibitor alone or potentially with other drugs that make that more effective.
Rich, where do you see this heading? You know, I'm reflecting back in lung cancer. Mark Criss last year at ASCO presented these findings from this consortium where they did mutation analysis. And one of the things that was really cool about that effort was it pushed people into phase one trials based on what their marker is. Is that kind of maybe where we're going to be in a few years in colon cancer?
Well, when you talk to Dave Ryan from MGH, you know, they're using this snapshot platform, which looks at about 50 genes, and doing it in every patient. They're actually billing insurance for it, and they're using it to assign patients to phase one trials later on. So, you know, some of the centers are already trying to do that. You know, we had an interesting conversation at a retreat for the Alliance where we talked about, you know, in 15 years, is the Alliance going to be organized around pathways rather than disease types? So will the lung committee people who are interested in ALK1 mutations be sitting with the colon cancer people who are interested in ALK1 mutations rather than with the small cell, non-small cell folks? It's hard to know. I think that that's a leap of faith, but it's an interesting question to contemplate.